We turn tonight to verse 38 of Psalm 119. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Dear congregation, David, God's servant in great humility, gave thanks and earnestly prayed in 2 Samuel 7, verse 25. O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. The psalmist was mindful there of what the Lord had promised, and he pleads with him that he would do as he had said. For the Lord kept his promise and favoured David's house. The God-fearing servant, despite their failings and shortcomings, can with faith pray again and again that God would fulfill his word and bless in a gracious way. On our journey in the midst of trial, in a country where there is so much declension, we look unto our covenant-keeping God and pray that he would establish his word unto us and bless us in a way beyond that which we ask or think. Well, tonight, with these things in mind, we come to verse 38. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Two thoughts here tonight. First of all, the God-fearing servant. And then secondly, the humble request of faith. The God-fearing servant. And then secondly, the humble request of faith. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Well, let's consider then the God-fearing servant. And as we do so, let's consider here is a prayer for the benefit of a servant. Establish thy word unto thy servant. David owns himself as a servant, not for any self-merit, but because of God's amazing grace. And we see that in 2 Samuel 7, verse 18. There we are told, then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hither to? You can see there, he's struck with amazement. Who am I? He's amazed at the Lord's gracious dealings with him to this very moment. He does not look to any self-merit. No, he looks to the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, we are not deserving. But let's consider, we are God's servants. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Now notice there, we are the Lord's servants. Here's a prayer for a servant, and we are the Lord's servants. Establish thy word unto thy servant. Now there are many other servants in this world who serve another master. The Bible makes plain that they are the servants of sin. Jesus said in John 8, verse 32, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. A servant of sin. And there are so many, millions upon millions in this world. And as we think of those servants, they are in bondage. They're a servant of sin. They're in bondage under its rule and fulfilling its lust, as we think of the master sin. Under its rule and fulfilling its lust. And so the apostle wrote in Ephesians 2 verse 3, Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Once we were in bondage, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of sin, yet the Lord has set us free. How amazing that the Lord has set us free. As we shall consider in a moment, he is a humble servant. And oh, we humbly look up to the Lord in amazement that we have now a new master, a wonderful master, a blessed master, and that we have been set free from the bondage of sin. John Bunyan wrote in Pilgrim's Progress, when Christian was at the cross, "Thus far did I come laden with my sin, nor could aught ease the grief that I was in, till I came hither. What a place is this! Must here be the beginning of my bliss, must here the burden fall off my back, must here the strings that bound it to me crack. Bless cross, bless sepulchre, bless rather be the man that was put to shame for me." And then Bunyan, he considers one being set free because of the wonderful Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think here tonight that we have been set free and now we are God's servants, we are to, like with David, rejoice in the Redeemer. Our chains fell off. Those shackles of bondage that kept us were broken. He set us free. And now we are God's servants. One of old wrote, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." The Lord came, and he set us free. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 8, verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." We're free, there is that liberty. And we are now the servants of God. Our blessed Lord, he came and delivered us. He broke down those bars of bondage. And now dwelling in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we are the servants of God. Dear brothers and sisters, we are no longer a servant of sin under the tyranny of the devil. We're God's servants. The apostle wrote in Romans 6 verse 22, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life." We're servants of God. We have a new master, a gracious master, a kind master, a loving master. I wonder, what do you think of your employer? When I consider my master, no complaints. Do you ever complain about your employer? You may have cause to do so at times, but when you consider your great master, you have no cause for complaints. And what a privilege to be able to consider that we belong to him. And we can say also with Joshua, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You see, when we consider again and again that we are God's servants, we will renew our covenant, that we will serve the Lord. So many do not serve the Lord. At this very moment, they're servants of sin, in bondage and under the tyranny of Satan. But we have been set free. Do you find yourself renewing the covenant? We will serve the Lord. Often, we should be saying those words, because we are God's servants. There's no holiday, there's no break in the service of the Lord. We are God's servants forever. Oh, to say with Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And what a privilege to serve the Lord. I wonder if you've ever gone to your employer and said this, "I am so thankful. It's a great privilege to come here and work for you." We ought to be saying it every day to the Lord. What a privilege it is that we belong to thee and we have the opportunity to serve thee. We are God's servants. Here is a prayer for a servant. Let us serve the Lord continually. Let's consider serving him each and every day in the work he has given for us to do. And remember each day whose you belong to. You do not belong to yourself. Thankfully, we do not belong to Satan. We belong to the Lord. And therefore, we are to seek in a holy way, live a befitting life. Listen to the Puritan Thomas Manton. Oh, I am not my own. As he considered these words here in Psalm 119, verse 38. You do not belong to yourself. You're a servant of the Most High God. You're a servant of Christ. We are witnesses for him in this world. Oh, let's then so live in a befitting way. Secondly, the God-fearing servant. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. The true servant has this characteristic. They fear the Lord. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. See here David's devotion. He has his mind set on the Lord and he has this awe in his heart and he's going to serve the Lord with this godly fear. It's a characteristic which ought to be seen by the world. This fear of God. Now there is this slavish fear or fear of wrath. At the school I used to attend a number of years ago, there used to be a lady called Mrs. Smith. And she was so strict, and she could make the boys cry. And I remember one day, I was asked to go and see her. However, she let me off lightly. But there was this fear, a slavish fear. But in contrast to such a fear, we have here tonight this filial fear. As Thomas Manton puts it, a fear of reverence. Not a fear of wrath or a slavish fear, but a fear of reverence. This awe in our heart. Oh, that every day, and more often throughout the day, I would be struck with God. To how great he is. And what amazing condescension that he favours me and listens to me. Oh, to be struck more with God. Oh, to be taken with the greatness of God, the holiness of God. Oh, then to have this awe in our hearts. Now consider here the psalmist is thinking about God. Establish thy word unto thy servant. You see, he's in awe. And he makes that plain, who is devoted to thy fear. David had this great respect. He feared the Lord. God's people fear him. It's a badge whereby they can be identified. Remember those well-known words in Malachi 3 verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that fought upon his name. Now consider that the Lord identifies his people as those who have this awe in their heart. Does he see you at this moment having this holy affection, as John Brown of Haddington puts it, in your heart for the Lord, that you're amazed? But then further, you're amazed that he's called you to serve him. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. See here this fear in the heart of David. He's a God-fearer and he's exercising this fear. In Psalm 89 verse 7 we read, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. This great fear of God should characterise our lives, and then as we see there, our worship. And I suggest where there is this great awe of God in the worship of God, there comes that sweet accompanying joy which the Lord gives. You see, when hearts are so focused on him, and they're so amazed at him, the blessings of joy flow in contemplation. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Now this fear plainly is not found within by nature. We have to walk down the village, or go into the town, or into the office. And we know all too well this fear is not in the heart of men by nature. If it was, our churches and chapels would be filled in this land. But it's not in the heart by nature. It's put within by the Holy Spirit in the new birth. Jeremiah 32 verse 40, "And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me." Note that there, he will put my fear in their hearts. I will put my fear in their hearts. It's planted within. It's put within his fear. And therefore one in the time of love comes to have this respect of God. One has a respect for God, his authority. He's the master. I bow the knee in submission for his authority and then for his commandments. Deuteronomy 10 verse 12. "And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." That's what the Lord requires of us. To fear him, to walk in his ways. You see that respect for his authority and his commandments, and to love him. You want to love the Lord more? Oh, pray for a heart in which you have a greater respect of him. And when we have this greater respect of him, and we are taken by him and what he is like, doth not our hearts move towards him? It's interesting, isn't it? To fear the Lord thy God and to walk in his ways comes before loving him. A God-fearer will be found loving him. One who has this respect of him will have this affection for him. A respect for God, his authority and his commandments. And so Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." You see how important it is that we daily have this respect of God. That we recognise that he is the master. This is the whole duty of man. Let us so live day by day in the fear of God. And to be known for it. Hananiah, remember him in Nehemiah 7 verse 2. We're told this about him. He was a faithful man and feared God above many. He was a faithful man and feared God above many. Oh, to excel in fearing the Lord. We thought, did we not last Lord's Day, about excelling in love first. Oh, to excel in fearing the Lord. Oh, to seek to excel in this. Therefore, turn often to meditate on him. That's so important. We need to think about God. Further, we need to survey every day his word in that prayerful way, so that through the assistance of the Holy Spirit, we might conduct ourselves each day in the fear of God. Remember those words in Hebrews 11 verse 7, written about Noah. "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." We focus there on his faith, but also on his God-fearing. And did you notice, his eye was on the Lord by faith, and he was moved with fear. He looked to the Lord by faith. He believed him. And he believed his word. And he acted in the fear of God. That's how I ought to act every day. Oh, to act more like that. With my eye on the Lord and a great heart of deep respect for him. But so when I speak, when I act, I do so being moved by the fear of God. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy feet. Noah looked to the Lord, and in the fear of God, got on with that important work. Exercising faith and living in the fear of God. And dear brethren, what a privilege to do so. This isn't a burden to us, is it? It's a privilege. We're a servant with a wonderful master. One to look to and to act in the fear of God. It's our desire, isn't it? Every day. To look to him and act in the fear of him. Now consider here what David says. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. He's speaking to the Lord about his fear, his awe in his heart. And you know, it's good to speak to the Lord. Then they that fear the Lord speak often one to another. We speak one to another, but let's also speak to the Lord. And let's be speaking to him about our respect we have for him. A man may fall in love with a certain lady and has this great respect, this esteem, and so he tells her. When did you last tell the Lord that you loved him? We'll consider that the Lord's Day evening. When did you last tell him, I so fear thee, Lord? This is with the psalmist, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. He's focused. He has this great awe in his heart. I begin with myself, oh, to think more of God each day. And then to go and talk to him about this godly fear I have in my heart. Lord, I fear thee. Thou hast so blessed me and helped me. I have a great respect of thee. I think of thy commandments. They're not grievous. Oh, I fear thee. When I come to worship, oh, I fear thee. I have this awe. I want to praise thy name. On we could go. It's good to talk to the Lord. But let me say also, it's a good check on us. Can we say these words in the situations we are in or the places we find ourselves in? We're doing something. Could I stop and say, I'm devoted to thy fear? Would the Lord see it? Establish thy word unto thy son who is devoted to thy fear. You know, it's a good check on us, isn't it? In the things that we do, in the places we go, that we could beforehand say to the Lord, I am devoted to thy fear before I go to this place. It's good to talk to the Lord. But it's a good check on us, isn't it? Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear when he eyed Bathsheba. Without any shadow of doubt, he was not saying such words to the Lord. Oh, to consider the fear of God. And oh, to have this awe in our hearts more often through the day. It's not easy at times, is it? We need to focus. But let's pray for this help, that we might fear the Lord. It might be known more and more to him, but also to others. Well, first of all, here tonight, we consider David, God's servant, who feared him. But secondly, as we draw to a close tonight, the humble request of faith. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. His humble request. Establish thy word. We thought already that this is a prayer for a servant. Well, David is a servant and he's praying, and in this prayer he makes this request. Establish thy word. Now again, in light of 2 Samuel 7, we consider particularly here the promised word. There were the promises to David in that 7th chapter of 2 Samuel concerning himself and his house. Well, David is praying in light of the word of promise. He prays 2 Samuel 25, chapter 7, verse 25. O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said. So similar to this prayer. Back in Samuel, David is thinking of the word of promise, and that's how we understand it here. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. The word of promise. We have interesting words in Romans 9 verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And you can follow that through if you go to Genesis 18 and verse 10. For this is the word of promise. Establish thy word unto thy servant. There are the promises of God. It's the word of the Lord. And we can think of many promises in this blessed book. We read in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. For the promises of God in him are yea, and in him are men unto the glory of God by us. All the promises, not just one, but many promises under the promise of eternal life. So many promises under that head. There's the promise to be our God, and he's kept his word. There's the promise to help, uphold, and strengthen us. Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And then verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, for I will help thee. There's promises there. There's precious promises. Consider also the promise to provide. Paul was in recognition of that, that the Lord would not hold any good thing. What did he say? But my God shall supply all your need. There's the promise to build. Matthew 16 verse 18, our Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's so many promises. Establish thy word, the word of promise unto me. We have here now the word establish. At the root it means to rise. Leading on from that, to confirm, to perform, to accomplish. One rises up in order to perform, to accomplish. Establish, perform, accomplish. Here's David. He's humbly making his request that the Lord would confirm, would perform his word. The Lord will. But David asked the Lord to do it. And we know the promises of God's word. And we know the promises are yea, and the promises are for us. But let's go and ask the Lord to establish his word. When in straits, pray, establish thy word, Lord. He's talking to our promise-keeping God that he will keep his promise. When you feel weak, establish thy word, Lord. When you're finding the way hard, establish thy word, Lord. When you come to a crossroads and you're not sure which way to go, establish thy word. When in the day of declension and we feel our smallness, establish thy word. The Lord has promised to build the church. Establish thy word then. Confirm it. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. When you, like David, have the promises of the word before you, pray to the Lord in light of them. When you're in a certain situation, pray in view of the promises. And he will answer. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear, and the Lord will answer. speak to him about his promises. And I say this carefully. Remind God about his promises that he has promised to you. And tell him with deep reverence in your heart, with this humility also, Lord, establish the promises to me. And he will. He bows down to his servants in great condescension and he listens. The master comes and listens to your reasoning. He listens to your requests and he grants. And we who love the Lord here tonight, we've experienced this so often. He's helped us, he's strengthened us, he's guided us. He's established his way. May the Lord help us to fear him. Yes, we have this fear within our hearts, but also exercise the fear of God. To live more with our hearts in heaven already. So focus on the Lord. Oh, to live more like that. To have this great respect of him. To consider him. To marvel at him. But then in humility to reason with him. You know, as we see here tonight in closing, our blessed Master allows his servants to reason with him concerning his great promises. He lets you come. You're in a situation, he's welcoming you tonight to reason with him concerning his promise. Establish thy word unto thy servant. Amen. Let us pray.